Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
And away we go. Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. It is Wednesday, August the 5th, 2020, 16 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program, and away we go. And you can just hear, I think, the happiness in my voice this morning. Now, why is there happiness in my voice this morning? Well, here's why. Because as many of you know, yesterday, I went to my favorite stop in the morning to get my large diet soda. And that's where the debacle started. And I don't want to go through this whole thing again. But basically what happened was I wait in line. It's a long line yesterday. I get to the head of the line and the machine is broken. The soda machine, the fountain soda machine is broken. What a travesty of justice. So I had to go down the road a little ways and go to another place. But you know, that led to a bad morning yesterday. Now, this morning, I go there. And immediately, I know there's going to be trouble because on Wednesday morning, see, this is how often I go there. On Wednesday morning, between 7 and 8 o'clock, they must get their delivery because every Wednesday morning, there's a big semi-truck there and they have to orange cone off one lane. So if you go on Wednesday morning and there's any kind of traffic there, it's way out to the street because of how the semi blocks off the one lane of traffic. So I pull in this morning, and I realize that I'm going to be waiting, you know, a little bit of time here, maybe 4 or 5 minutes, because we're down to one lane. And I thought, if I get up there after waiting this long, and the machine is still broken, we're going to have trouble. You know, there's going to be trouble. Now, I'm not saying this was going to be physical trouble. I don't think it was going to result to that. I wouldn't do that. That's illegal. Who would do that? But, you know, there was going to be a discussion on maybe hanging a sign out there or alerting the regulars like myself that the machine is broken. So the whole time I'm getting anxiety and I'm getting nerves as I approach the window because I know that this thing could be broken again. And then I'm going to have to go to another place like I did yesterday. Lo and behold, I get to the front of the line and they do have soda and they do have ice and everything is hunky-dory. So I'm a happy person this morning. Now, here's the other thing about this. I put this up on Facebook yesterday. What happened yesterday? I did not mention the place. I don't believe in downing places on the air. But what happened yesterday was when I put this up on Facebook, boy, did I get comment after comment after comment. Something like 40 comments on how other people have had issues very similar to mine. So, it's nice to know that I'm not the only one. Now, today is mostly going to be open phone conversation. Now, we are going to be joined at 8:30 this morning by David Pepper, the Ohio Democratic chairman, Democratic Party chairman. Now, the reason for this is we do have an election coming up in 90-something days at this point. And does anybody really know how you're supposed to vote? Because this is a whole thing. Because of the COVID, because of the pandemic, clearly voting is going to be different coming this November. And I don't know if people really know how we're going to vote here in Ohio, because each state, I think, is making their own choice about how to do this and what they'll do. And, you know, there are actually lawsuits being filed in the state of Ohio right now about how we're going to vote in about 90 days. So David Pepper is going to come in, fill us in on how it is now and what lawsuits have been filed and what ways you might be able to vote. Because to be honest with you, a lot of people don't get the newspaper anymore because that costs a lot of money now. And a lot of people don't have access to the internet, so we need to know how we're going to vote. Because if your polling place is not going to be open, which we don't know, we need to talk to David Pepper about that. Will your polling place be open? Can you do it the way you've always done it? Because this is a presidential election. And typically, presidential years have the highest turnout voter-wise. But during this pandemic, will that be the case? We really don't know. So we're going to talk to David Pepper at 8:30 this morning about that. But other than that, we have no guests this morning, and we're just going to talk here on the program. Now, here's something I started talking about yesterday, and I'm going to talk about this morning. And, you know, here's the deal. I don't know if the person who said this is listening. I don't think they were listening yesterday, because when I said it yesterday, I did not hear any feedback. And usually with this person, they will just negative feedback you to death. So I don't think they heard when I brought this up yesterday. But I only brought it up for a few minutes because it was the end of the program and I didn't have a whole lot of time. So I'm going to start to bring it up now because we've got David coming on in about 8 minutes here. Now, I don't think the person's listening this morning just because I know their habits. So I think I can bring this up again and still be in the clear. But here's the deal. Last week, I had a meeting, is what I'm going to call it, with a few people. And somehow we got to the conversation, what is the secret to life? Now, one of the people in the conversation said the secret of life has to do with the book. Now, the book is either called The Secret or The Secret of Life. I really don't know. I can't remember what she said, but I block out about 70% of what she says anyway. So she says to me, the secret of life is in this book, The Secret or The Secret of Life or whatever it's called. And I said, well, I've never read this book and I have no intention to read this book. And I don't think that that's probably the case. So at this point, and then I start to say, I doubt this is a very good book, because I don't think you can put The Secret of Life down in a book. And apparently this book had been written many, 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 many years ago. So what I was saying was, I don't think the book is any good. Now, if you've read the book and you think it's good, that's hunky-dory. It just, for me, would not be the book that I would read. So that's where we are. Me saying that the book is not going to tell you the secret of life. Now, this is, and I wrote this down on an index card at the time. This was last Thursday. I wrote this down on an index card because I need an interpreter. Honest to goodness, and I'm not even sure it's a language that is spoken on any continent on planet Earth. It might be alien language. You know, we've talked about ghosts and aliens a lot on this show. It might be ghost and alien talk. I really don't know. But here is what she said, and I wrote this down, word for word. This is the quote. Now, understand what happened was, we're talking about The Secret of Life. She says that it's all about this book, The Secret of Life, whatever it is. I say this book cannot possibly have The Secret of Life in it, and here is what she said. This is the quote. I'm quoting this person, and I'm not telling you who the person is, because honestly, they would probably have to enter the witness relocation program if people knew that they said this. So here's what they said. This is the quote. Now get ready. Brace yourself. Grab something in your living room. Because you will not understand this. You'll think that something has happened with the radio waves and they're all scrambled, because this makes no sense at all. But here's the quote. Tell me not how good the book is. Okay, that's what the quote was. Now let me read this again, because it makes absolutely no sense whether you're coming or going. It who knows? Tell me not how good the book is. Now, I don't know if they were trying to say read the book. I don't know if they were trying to say the book is good. I really don't know. This is what it said. Tell me not how good the book is. Okay. Now, we've got David Pepper coming on here in about 5 minutes. So you think about, don't call me right now, but you think about what that means. Try not to scramble your mind, and you tell me exactly what that's supposed to mean, because next hour, I'm completely wide open. Now, if that person happens to be listening, oh, and I think they are listening. I see, I just got a message. They are listening. But see, I don't know if they're really angry about this, because all the message says is, joke's on you, I'm listening. And then there's an emoji, one of these faces that they, and I don't know what this face is supposed to mean. It doesn't look like an angry face. It just, it's like an upside down, the lips are upside down. I don't know what that even means. So I don't know if that's anger or sarcasm or whatever that is. But I know this person is in the vicinity. So next hour, if they're free, because they haven't been on in a while, the floor is open. Listen, the floor is open if you want to come in and defend this and talk about other things. Because from 8 or 9 to 10 this morning, I'm wide open. But honest to goodness, and maybe they can tell us what this means. Tell me not how good the book is. Now, what is that? Tell me not how good the book is. And maybe they can tell us what the secret of life is. And if their little cohort would like to come in, that's good too. Because, but I always hear like they're out running or jogging or something in the morning. I don't know if this is really happening either. I tend to believe it is because this person's an honest person. But they can come in too. But I'm just saying, next hour's open. You know, I don't force anybody's hand, but you got, you know, 40 minutes. But I do want a soda because I'm a soda short this week. Even though it turned out okay this morning, I'm here this morning till noon because I'm on with Glenn Coble from 10 until 12. And then Glenn is on today from 12 until 1 with A Progressive Life. We also have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman 4 to 5 today. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from 6 until 7. But see, I don't think they would show up because for some reason this person lately, I don't know what's wrong with them. Something's going on. But it would be an interesting time to talk to them about what's going on with the schools and daycare. Let's put it that way. So there would be more to that conversation than just this particular mess. Tell me not how good the book is. What does that mean? Does anybody know what that means? I know that's no language spoken on any continent. So here's the deal. I think that's from like Saturn or Jupiter, or maybe Mars, which I think this person might be from one of those planets. So maybe that's where they picked up that horrible language. We'll see what happens. As I always say, you never know what's going to happen on this show, but we do have David Pepper coming up from 8:30 to 9 to tell us how we're going to vote, and then we'll come back this morning at 9:15. So we'll see if we hear or see this person in that particular hour, but I just, honest to goodness, I don't know what this means. And if anybody wants to call in from 9 until 10 this morning and try to explain to me what this means, I would be glad to hear it. Because clearly, there's something wrong. Tell me not how good the book is. That's not English. That there's no way that is English. Would have no idea what that is. But that's water over the bridge right now. I think we're going to have our call-in here momentarily. But this call-in's very important because we need to know how we're voting. We need to know what lawsuits are being filed. We need to know what we need to be out on the lookout for. There's a lot of stuff we need to know because this election is coming up in just over 90 days. So we need to know things like this. You know, we're into August now. The election, I believe, is November the 3rd, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. I didn't look that up. You know, a real radio host would look that up. I didn't look that up this morning, but I believe it is November the 3rd. So we have got, under 3 months now. maybe less than 90 days at this particular point. We're getting awful close. What is it? There's 31 days in this month. So we have, what do we have here? If today's the 5th, we have 26 days left in this month. There's only 30 days in September. So that would be 56 days. There's 31 days in October. So that would be 87 days. And then there would be 3 days in November, if it is November the 3rd. So that would put us right at 90 days today. Is it 90 days from the election day? Can somebody look that up for me? Is it, do we vote on November 3rd? Is that the first Tuesday in November this year? Because if it's the first Tuesday, I believe we're exactly 90 days away from the election today, and we should have our call-in here momentarily. I think this is the time we set it up for. Let me go back and take a look here to make sure that we are on the right page. Let's see here. Oh, 8:35. So we have a few minutes here. 8:35 to 9 o'clock is when our guest will be joining us. But I do believe that this will give us time here to see when the election is here in Ohio. Let's see here. 2020 Election Day. I hope it's November the 3rd. It seems like somebody said, yeah, Tuesday, November the 3rd. That is election day. Tuesday, November the 3rd. So if it's Tuesday, November the 3rd, again, we have 31 days in this month minus 5. So that would put us at 26 days left in this month. We have 30 next. That's 56. We have 31 in October. That'd be 87. And then 3 days in November. That'd be 90. Is my math right on this? Does anybody want to call in really quick in the next 2 minutes? Am I right? If the election is November 3rd, does today, August 5th, mean that we are exactly 90 days from the big election today? Is that right? 90 days out today from the big election. And who will show up next hour? What will we see going on there? You never know. I know it'd be good to figure out what this mess, this language, tell me not how good this book is. Doesn't that sound like somebody just took a bunch of words and kind of crammed them together, didn't really know what they were meaning, didn't really know what they were talking about? I think they were stunned that I doubted that they knew what the secret of life was. So I think in response to me doubting that they knew what the secret of life was, they just, they went insane. Tell me not how good this book is. Holy mackerel. What kind of language? But there is a lot to talk about with that particular person, so who knows? We'll see. I know it's short notice, but that's how you have to book them sometime. We'll see what happens at 9:15 this morning. But I'll tell you, honest to goodness, we're talking about a beverage. We're talking about a beverage as well, because you got to have that. Because, as I say, I'm here a little longer this morning, as I'll be on with Glenn from 10 until noon today, and then A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble will be on 12 to 1, Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman 4 to 5, and then the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon 6 until 7 today. So a full slate of programming here on WWGH Radio. But this voting thing, you know, this, when you have a lot of people turning out to vote and you don't know how to vote, and you don't know what's going on, there can be trouble. And we're going to try to figure out that trouble here momentarily for about 25 minutes and get everybody straightened around to where they need to be. It's a mess right now. Not only are we wreaking havoc with college sports, not only are we wreaking havoc with how schools are going to go back, there's just so much going on. So for the next 25 minutes, And politics, you know, we are in the middle of a presidential year, and by my count, the election, as I talked about a little earlier this morning, the election is Tuesday, November the 3rd. So, oddly enough, this wasn't planned, but today is exactly 90 days away from that particular election. But the pandemic is certainly still going to be going on. And how are we going to vote? I don't know if people have any clue. Lawsuits have been filed. Are the polling places going to be open? Can you go to your polling place and vote? Nobody knows. So, for this and an update, with 90 days left to go, which isn't all that long, we turn to Ohio Democratic Party Chairman David Pepper. David, good to talk with you again.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
David, boy, there's a lot to talk about here in 25 minutes. What, right now, as it stands, without the lawsuits, how are we going to vote in 90 days in Ohio?
So basically, it's generally similar to before. You have, you know, you can vote by mail, by you can send your application in right away to your Board of Elections to get that process going. You also, at least as of right now, and I don't think this will change, you can vote early in person in the final 30 days of the election. So you can either get your ballot in the mail and cast it by mail. Right now, you can drop it off at the Board of Elections also, or you can vote early in person at the Board of Elections, or there's Election Day itself. So, you know, that sounds good, and it's similar to before. The problem is we are seeing some real challenges right now. People are, you know, some people, my guess is seniors and others who are, you know, higher risk are worried about showing up on with long lines on Election Day with the pandemic. And we also are hearing concerns about, you know, the mail system, frankly, being undermined by the Trump administration, so it may add delays. So the general rules are what they've been. Also, every registered voter should receive an application directly from the Secretary of State sometime around Labor Day, and that should be coming, so people should look for that. My guess is a lot of people will also receive applications from other places as well, but if you haven't gotten your application yet on that day, you can take the application you get, send it in, and again, the point is to get the application in as soon as possible, and then you get your ballot.
You know, David, this might sound a little trite, but people are in bad financial straits now. We certainly don't know where they're going to be Labor Day. We certainly don't know where they're going to be on Election Day, 90 days from today. A lot of people don't use the post office anymore. Will the postage be paid? Is it one of those things where they don't have to pay the postage to send this back in?
That's unclear. Right now, the postage, as far as I know at this moment, postage will not be paid on the application. And we don't like that. We think that you should have to pay anything to vote. So we are pushing very hard for several things. One, we're pushing that Frank LaRose himself should add the postage to the application so people don't have to pay it. Number two, we think, you know, it's a 21st century. Most states, or many states do this, about 20. But we, most of our life, all of us, we buy things online, we file taxes online, we do all sorts of things online. We think it's very clear that the law says that Frank LaRose should accept online applications, so a stamp isn't required. It's also a lot easier. It also cuts out 4 or 5 days of delay. So rather than just you know, having everyone put something in the mail with a stamp, you know, go ahead and let people submit their application online. Again, it's the 21st century. It doesn't really. There's no good reason not to allow for this to happen. And we actually think, we just filed suit the other day. We think that the law is quite clear that it says the form in which the application for a ballot comes in should not matter. That's what the law says. So our view is, well, if it comes in by email or there's an online form, the law says that shouldn't matter. If it's got the right information, the Board of Elections should send that person a ballot. So we're pushing hard to make sure that voters aren't inconvenienced by only being able to send it by mail.
I just want to barrel back 1 second before we come to the lawsuit here again. But so just to be clear, on Election Day, as of now, from 90 days from today, if I want to go to my polling place like I always have, because that's how I vote, I've never voted early or anything of that nature, even in presidential years when it becomes a little bit of a cruncher,
right,
my polling place will be open.
It should be. You should double check. I mean, here, one thing that's happening, and this is another thing that we're pushing hard on, is because of the COVID crisis, there are some places that are higher risk, like some people vote in nursing homes. Those may not be polling locations in November. So one, double check for that reason. Number two, and we're trying to avoid this as much as possible, we as a Democratic Party are very concerned about polling places being moved or consolidated. The one other challenge right now is that a lot of people who are the traditional poll workers who you see at the poll when you go vote, a lot of them are older. That's a problem, obviously. In the pandemic, a lot of them are deciding that they don't want to be poll workers, and that may lead to polling places being being consolidated as well. And so people, we're going to fight against that. We want people to be able to go to the same place they always go to. But we also, you know, we also think people should triple check before Election Day to make sure you're going to the right polling place.
Now, as I understand it, the suit that has been filed is trying to get people to be, as you said, to be able to vote by email. But I think fax is also in there if people still have a fax machine. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. So you'd be able to fax your ballot in. And again, this bypasses the postage issue. The law system is interesting right now, moving slower than I think it ever has because of COVID. In 90 days, is it possible that this case will be settled?
I hope it's settled in the next 2 weeks. I mean, have no time to waste. So Frank LaRose is Secretary of State, and he has said for several years that he supports online applications. He supports the idea of about what we're saying. But he has said he thinks he needs the legislature to actually write a law for him to do it. We think the law is not necessary because it's already very clear that he should accept applications, whatever form they come in. We don't think this should, but if he has said that he supports this, I think it would be a huge waste of time and energy and taxpayer dollars for him to fight out a lawsuit over something he says he agrees with us with. So my hope is this can be resolved very quickly, and voters can actually start to do this very soon. So that's what I hope happens. The other day in court, he brought the suit. He wanted to delay things, that was disappointing because we're actually trying to give him the tool that he so he said he wants. I mean, again, this is not some breaking new ground step. Dozens of states, I believe, do this. I know at least 20 do this. They allow voters to get their ballots this way. There's no reason not to do this, especially in the middle of a pandemic. So hopefully this does not take long at all.
What was the reason he wanted to delay it the other day?
Well, it's just sort of typical legal maneuvering, a long, slow briefing schedule. You know, you guys put in your document, then we send it back days later. You know, we don't have time for this. We got 91 days or so for the election. People are concerned about voting. Why waste time? And here's the other problem. The alternative is to sit around and wait for the legislature to enact something that, again, we don't need them to enact. Well, good luck with that. I mean, the speaker just resigned because of the biggest bribery scandal in the history of our state. Do we really want his permission to do this when they can't even meet, when they literally are in chaos over there? We should not be waiting for them to get their act together, because that's not going to happen. They're hardly meeting. When they met least recently, it was to get rid of one speaker, and then they voted to keep Larry Householder in his day job, which I couldn't understand. So why are we going to sit around and wait for that? That basically means the election will be over before anything happens. The truth is, we are going to court to give Frank LaRose the very tool that he says he supports. So my hope is that's so blatantly, obviously, a good thing to do. States all over the country do it. He says he's wanted to do it. Let's just go do it and get on with it.
That all being said, at this point, why would he want to delay? Why would he be sounding like he's against it with 90 days left to go?
I just don't know. I don't know. I don't want to speak for him. I sincerely think he said, at least I'd take him at his word, that he supported it. Sometimes politics creates behavior that doesn't make sense. And I think in this case, we are going to court to literally say that Ohio should be doing what the Secretary of State says he wants to be doing. So I hoped he wouldn't even fight it, honestly. I hoped he'd say, okay, let's come up with a way to do it. My hope is that still happens.
With knowing that if this does happen, this would be the first time that Ohioans would be able to vote via email. Now, the interesting thing here is that right now, being in the midst of this pandemic, this is something we would have never done, so I imagine some kind of website would have to be created to be able to do this. We have seen when Obamacare came out, they thought the website was good, and then some bad things happened there. We have seen what has happened with the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services. They were not ready for all the unemployment claims that came in, and it jammed their website, knocked it down for a while, and it was hard to get anything through. Is there a fear with 90 days to go that there would be not enough time to perfect this process? Because you don't want to lose people's votes.
Yeah, so the good news is Frank LaRoe said in public testimony not long ago that he could set up a system actually relatively quickly of people being able to do it online. So he said, I just was watching it last night, he said as recently as June that there's a way to do this safely, securely, and that's something that could be done. But here's the thing that I would say. So our suit basically is saying, and it's what the law of Ohio says, that the form that the voter uses cannot be used to reject the ballot. So one answer to that concern is, hey, government, you got to figure it out. It's not the voter's fault if you have not figured out a way to follow the law. The voter should not be punished because you didn't accept an application that had all the information the voter was supposed to provide. So it really is on government here to figure it out. And here's the one thing that people should know too. One thing we're saying should happen is people should be able to, you know, send an email of their application in. And apparently someone in the Secretary of State's office is complaining that's not good. They accept emails now from all over the world, because foreign American voters from Ohio who live overseas, they actually, this is how they send in their applications. So it's not like this is some new challenging idea. They already do this. So we believe that's one system that should work, and they just need to be ready for it. It's, you know, this is life. As I say all the time, you know, people having to reconfigure their entire business, if they're a restaurant, if they're a small business, because of the COVID crisis. You know, first responders and frontline workers are risking their lives to save others. That's hard. Those are hard things to do. Figuring out how to do this isn't, I mean, it's not easy. It's not as hard as what other people are doing in the private sector. So my attitude is, if other states are doing it, if you're doing it by email already for overseas voters, there's a way to figure out how to do it. And in the end, it's what the law says you have to do, so go ahead and do it.
Now, I think the pushback on this to some degree would be 4 years ago when we had a presidential election, Hillary Clinton did lose, and a lot of people have different ideas on why that happened, but one of the popular ideas, a matter of fact, we had an investigation that went on for a long time because of this, was that Russia knows how to interfere in the elections. They do this through the internet. They were able to hack into voter rolls. Things of that nature, and a lot of people feel they're doing that again this time. Certainly wouldn't be something we would know. Certainly they wouldn't do that right out in the open. So to actually put the votes online, again, in a presidential election, doesn't that leave ourselves wide open for that?
No, I mean, they better already have systems protecting against emails coming in. I mean, this is not, you know, new ground. That is a concern about interference overall, but at the end of the day, that's no reason that voters shouldn't be able to do this. Again, it happens all over the country. 20-plus states do it. They already they literally accept emails from foreign countries right now of voters sending applications. So I don't think there's a reason that they shouldn't be able to do that from the state of Ohio. I think oftentimes, everyday Ohioans, like I'm feeling right now, get frustrated with government. You know, all these other entities in life are having to adjust to a COVID situation, make hard decisions, do tough things. In Ohio, we're basically saying, you know, one, add drop boxes. We can turn that in a second, so people can vote easily. And two, you know, do whatever every other institution in the country does around business, modernize so people can send things by email and not have to go, you know, who has a printer at home? I don't know. A lot of people don't have printers. The idea that they have to print it out, then stamp it, I mean, that's like 1980s. It's 2020. There's no reason the government should be making excuses as to why they can't do this. And as I said, the statute says the form of the application should matter. The voters should be able to send in the information how they want to. And if Frank LaRose, as he said, Frank LaRose himself said, I said this earlier, that he believes there's a secure and safe way to do this. Well, go ahead, let's do it. No more wasting time. It's 91 days left to go.
I think everything I'm about to say is right, and correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, David, but presidential years, you typically have the highest turnout of voters.
Right.
The group that tends to turn out higher than anybody else is senior citizens.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of senior citizens, probably more than anybody else, don't have computers or don't have access to them.
Right.
If you're fearful of the COVID and you're not going to go vote early, and you're because there are a lot of senior citizens at these polling
yep.
places every
yep.
year, how many voters are we going to lose because of this? Just if the lawsuit goes through or not, and you can email or fax, these senior citizens, the largest voting block, just doesn't do that.
I think you'll lose some, but here's what I worry about. We are seeing it's an overall situation that the postal system is being inundated. It's being undermined from Washington. We read about that all the time. And we also only have 30 days, so people may get it in, but you know, if you send it in by mail, you're talking 3 or 4 or 5 days. If you send it in by email, you're talking instantaneous. It all adds up. So one of the ways to make this election as safe as possible is to have as many votes come in early as possible, so it isn't all pushed back till election day and everyone is showing up in person in the middle of a pandemic. So, you know, we believe that there are a number of steps. Online applications is one of them. Another one, some may remember in the primary, there was one drop box outside the Board of Elections where people could drop their ballot without a stamp, and again, without delay, it went straight to the Board of Elections. We believe that these drop boxes should be all over our communities, you know, city halls, libraries, rec centers, you name it. Again, just like the application online, this is how many states vote. You know, in Georgia, a Republican-run state, there were multiple drop boxes all over Atlanta. And Milwaukee, Wisconsin, same thing. Alaska, another Republican state, they have drop boxes where you can take your vote and you drop it in the box as opposed to in the mail. It goes the same day, and it goes right to the Board of Elections. And just like the applications, we're saying this should be done right now. There's no reason why people should have to drive 30 minutes to one location to drop off a ballot drop box and then 30 minutes home. In these other states and cities, people literally go down the street and do it. So our point is, it all adds up. If you had online applications, which you can do, it would save time and it would save everyone a stamp. It would frankly save, you know, days and days, and it would also keep the postal system from being inundated with applications. And then the vote drop box would do the exact same thing. And the more people are using these tools, the less you're going to have large crowds and long lines and long waits in person early or on election day. And that's not only a better election, that's safer for everybody. So we're simply trying to push forward these common sense things. And nothing I just talked about in the states that do it are partisan. They're not controversial. They're done in Republican states. They're done in Democratic states. And we're simply trying to push these forward here as ideas to make the election a lot better.
That being said, if it isn't a partisan issue, what would the Republican chairman in Ohio say about this issue? I'm sure you've had to talk to some Republicans.
Yeah.
Are they for this?
You know, it's hard to know anymore because these things weren't partisan, but Donald Trump has made he's tried to make vote by mail so controversial that some Republicans are now not willing to say, well, no, these are pretty straightforward. But you know, I'll just say this. You know, there was the Republican chair in Camden County just this morning was saying vote by mail is perfectly safe and perfectly fine. Frank LaRose said online application is secure. He said it's easy and secure. We can do it. Mike DeWine has said vote by mail in Ohio has never had problems. So my hope is Ohio Republicans continue to speak out and say, you know, whatever the president might be saying one day or the next, that vote by mail in Ohio, at least, has always been non-controversial. So why not make it as easy as possible through the steps we're talking about that, again, everyone has said generally that they think makes sense? I just think this is going to be a challenging election with a pandemic, with the postal system under attack. Let's do everything we can to make it easier. And, yeah, does this mean people have to work a little harder? Sure, but that's life. That's life right now. My hope is people take these ideas seriously and move forward. And what's interesting is, back to the vote-by-mail drop boxes, you know, mayors across the state are reaching out to their boards of elections saying, hey, we'll put one at our local library. We'll put one at our rec center. So if the people are offering to help, we just need to get out of these sort of legal maneuverings and just go ahead and give a green light and move forward.
If this does get the green light and move forward, or any of the other information that we know so far about voting during a pandemic, this has never happened before in our lifetimes, how hard is it going to be to get the information out that you can do this with 90 days?
We are going to be engaged in a very aggressive public education campaign so people know that. And we'll do it. I believe, obviously, Secretary of State LaRose will do it. Boards of Elections will do it. And if we add these drop boxes, obviously, we'll also want to be sure that if the city of Cincinnati, where I'm sitting right now, has a bunch of drop boxes, obviously, we hope they'll put their information out. Hey, come vote at the rec center. Come vote at the library. We'll see. But we'll obviously work very hard. But the good news is I think that adding options for voting, they're all secure, they're all safe, is something voters will greatly, greatly appreciate. So hopefully when we get the word out that they will be excited to see, hey, I don't have to drive half an hour to my Board of Elections. I can go down the street and vote there.
David, real quick, with about 4 minutes left here before we break for the top of the hour, Ohio, as of last week, kind of got a big coup. Depends on how you feel about this. Another state had to drop out, so now the first presidential debate will happen in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, I'm very happy about it. I think it's great. I mean, as you've seen, and you and I have talked about this in the past, you know, we have said for 2 years that we think that we are a toss-up state. We think that if Ohio could very well be blue, that would end the Trump presidency. Donald Trump understands that. He's spending a lot of money here. He's trying to get Kanye West on the ballot here. And the debate being here is one more affirmation that we will have be right in the heart of it all in the election. And I think it's going to be partnered with the Cleveland Clinic, and I do think that's a very good thing. It'll be a lot of focus on health care, which is a major concern to Ohioans, a lot of focus on the COVID response, which is a huge concern to Ohioans, as we've done well in some places, not so well in others. So I think it's great, and we look forward to having the debate in Cleveland.
We spoke very early on in the pandemic, right after the primary earlier this year, and I remember you saying you felt Governor DeWine was handling this very well and doing the right things. Now here we are in early August, and things are a little different. Businesses are open back up. Things are going on. How would you say Governor DeWine is handling this now as we go along?
You know, I think he started out very well as he worked with Dr. Acton. I think as she left, I would just say, and I'll say it nicely, I think Governor DeWine's heart has always been in the right place, and he's working very hard, better than most. But we clearly took a step backwards for a couple months, and the result, once she left, you know, they didn't have the mask requirement. I think that was a mistake. They had this system of ranking counties, but there was no consequence. I think that didn't make a lot of sense. But recently, he did require masks, and I think he's being a little more thoughtful. So, you know, I think I would have given him an A before. I think we're probably now closer to the B minus C area, which sounds harsh, but it's just, you know, when the numbers are going back up, they're going back up, and I think a lot of it could have been avoided if they had been a little more tough on the early end. You know, we're now one of the states that we're not able to go to certain other states. And so I think we went backward. But I will say, I don't say that in a personal way. I think Mike DeWine is working hard to try and get it right. You know, obviously we want businesses to be able to stay open and thrive, and we want people coming back to work. But I think some of the things that weren't done, I mean, there was no reason not to require masks everywhere early. Masks are working where they're in place. The numbers are going down. And by not having masks required for months, I think he actually really allowed the opening to slip into something that led to higher numbers. I think if schools and sports in the end aren't able to open, I think a lot of the reason will be that over the summer we kind of wasted time getting more serious about it, and so all of a sudden now it's spread broadly enough that schools and sports and other things may not happen. And I think a lot of the early part of the summer was wasted as a chance to really take some steps that would have shut it down a lot, shut the virus down a lot more than what happened. And I do think Dr. Acton not being on the scene hurt. I think she was someone who was very focused, and without her, I think the mission got fuzzied up a little bit.
I do want to make this very clear to our listening audience. Right now, 90 days away, the election on November 3rd, 2020, presidential election, a lot of other things on the ballot as well, local and statewide. Right now, you will be able to vote as we have it, as you always have. Early vote, go to the polling place, however you want to do it. But right now, there is a lawsuit, there is legal action in place that would allow you to vote via email or fax, but we don't.
No, you'd only send your application in for a vote online. You wouldn't vote online. You would get your application, you could send your application to get your ballot. Then you receive it. Then you vote as you always would do.
Right. So you send you would send the ballot in, and then they would send you the information.
Correct. You'd vote the same way as you always would vote, but the application you could send in electronically. That you can't vote electronically. We do not support that.
Right. How long would it take you to get something like that back?
Again, if you're able to do it by email, you get it back as soon as they can mail it. Hopefully, 3 or 4 days. If you're sending it electronically, if you have to stick it in the mail, then it's going to take 3 or 4 days to go and 3 or 4 days to come back. So you're just delaying the process, and late in the election, when there's tons of pieces of mail going, we worry that some people will get cut out of the system. So by you're cutting the time in half by allowing people to send it in online.
Interesting. And when is the last day to register?
The last day to register is 30 days out. I can't remember the exact day, but the election is November 3rd, so a month before that. And then the day after that, people can start sending in their ballot or voting early in person.
Mm-hmm. And you'll come back, David, and let us know how this all turns out when it turns out.
Sure, yeah. I think your concern that people know exactly what's happening is very important. So, yeah, I'm happy to come back on and update people based on the results of the different things we're advocating for.
David Pepper, Ohio Democratic Chairman. Thank you, David.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Bye-bye. David Pepper, there you go. All the information about voting. It's interesting right now. We'll be back in 15 minutes.
Perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, call in, just get a conversation going, and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Stewart, Community Christianship,